Hey guys, Sklar Brothers here with Dan Van Kirk.
Yes.
From Dumb People Town, and we've got Adam from Adam Ruins Everything. Adam Conover on the show this
Hello.
Week.
Hello!
Good time in Dumb People Town, right? I mean, you like to make people smarter. When they finish watching your show
and try to
listen to your podcast, they try and be smarter. We are going to not be focusing on those people in this episode.
No, but we are going to focus on possibly the greatest eyewitness to any one of our stories. Mulver.
The first story has one of the greatest Dumb People Town characters ever, and he didn't actually do anything wrong. Check it out.
Hey, weird adults. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has the best audiobook performances, the largest library, and the most exclusive content, and you'll feel something when you listen. Learn more at audible.com/weirdadults, where you can get 30 days free and one free audiobook. It's awesome, and just so you know, I'm right now reading Missoula. I think it's a must read, and it's super easy to digest if you're listening to it on Audible. I'm also highly, highly, extremely beyond above recommending you read or listen to on Audible, So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson. If you are of the now, if you are living in the time that we're living, which I hope you are if you're listening to this, if not, please seek medical attention because you are in fact dead. But if you are living, you have to read So You've Been Publicly Shamed by John Ronson, and you can get it for free by going to audible.com/weirdadults. This book is such a necessary read because it's so relevant to the times we're living in, and I just think it's awesome. All right, guys, check it out, audible.com/weirdadults.
Audio. Hey Matt, what's up? You said you had a question for me.
Yeah, this is a weird question. I don't know. I'm trying to look for like kind of sexy stuff to buy for my girlfriend.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wait,
I don't know
you
where
have
to go.
A girlfriend?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so
we're really
upset.
Kinky. Yeah,
you
so
are
really kinky stuff. So
wait,
I don't know what to get her.
Okay, I have the perfect idea. Like, all you have to do is go to this website. It's called AdamEve.com. Write it down. Get your phone.
AdamEve.com.
Yeah, here. Just take out a pen and paper real quick. AdamEve.com. AdamEve.com. You know, like, I know this is an easier way to remember it, but like, do you remember like that story in the Bible? Like, I'm sure you've heard it. Like,
Job?
Adam and Eve.
Oh, Adam, oh yeah.
You know, like that's what I think it probably be based off of. But go there and like just like search. You can find like condoms. You can find like sexy outfits and just like really cute stuff. Does that sound like that's what you're looking for?
That's exactly what I'm looking for. AdamEve.com.
Yeah. And if you type in the code weird at your checkout, you'll not believe what happens.
What happens?
50% off.
50% off?
Yes.
At AdamEve.com?
Yes. 50% off at AdamEve.com. And
okay, I'll check it out right now.
Wait, before you go, do you have a DVD player?
I do.
Oh my god, you're also going to get three free DVDs.
Three free DVDs?
Yeah, can you believe it?
That rhymes. Yeah.
It's supposed to. All right.
I'm so excited.
All
Thank
right.
Thank you, Esther.
Bye, Matt. Creepy little Esther. Stupid little Esther. And we're recording a podcast. Welcome to my guest. Hi. I don't even remember how to say your last name, so please pronounce your full name.
Broussard. Matthew Broussard.
Okay. Do you go by Matt or Matthew?
I respond to either. On paper, I prefer Matthew.
But in real life?
In real life, either. It's fine.
Like, am I like, Matthew, come over here? And I'm like, Matt, sup?
You can say Matt. I think my dad said, my mom says Matthew, my dad says Matt.
So I just met you. You just moved here from Austin.
Houston. Yeah. I lived in Austin for just a couple months. Like I moved out here like in a weird way. I moved from Houston. I left Houston in July, moved to Austin for 2 months, moved to San Francisco for like 3 weeks, and then I ended up here.
So why the fuck did that happen? What's going on?
I did a movie in Austin last little while. Plus, Austin's awesome, so it was fun to stick around. And I did a stand-up contest in San Francisco.
Excuse me? What was it? Tell us about it.
The San Francisco International Comedy Competition. I don't have many... I mean, it was a good experience, but it was not reflective of San Francisco at all. We did, like, casinos, like, 2 hours outside the city for, like... It was terrible. It was like it was a road show. There was nothing San Francisco about it. We did like tons of shows. It was like 10 shows over the full course of the contest.
But you were all competing.
We were all competing.
How many people were competing?
Started with 32. I got down to the top five. And then the last night when it was just the five of us, I got last. So
what, is this like just a non-televised version of Last Comic? Like, what's the deal?
No. There's a sister competition in Seattle. That's a really good competition. Yeah, it's just...
So you're down with that?
I'm down with
it. I feel like there are comics that are like, I'm not going to fuck with no competition, but you are like, why not? Which, by the way, I don't have like a stance. I don't know.
I personally, I'm kind of competitive. I like competitions. They really force you to throw out like B material, like forever. That's always my experience with like, oh, I need a 7-minute set. What can I piece together? You're like, oh, let's just cut out this tag just so we have time. And you're like, I'll just never put that back in there. Like, why? And it makes you stronger. I love it for the editing. It does suck to lose. My comedy career basically started with me winning some contests. So
like what? I mean, you are giving off, what is the vibe? Winkelvoss.
Oh, yeah, that's one of my jokes. Yeah.
Oh my god!
Tribute from District One. Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Yeah, you're such a Winkelvoss. Like not, everything though. About you right now. At least.
Right now, I'm kind of like
this. Like talking about competitions.
I have this weird thing when I like. I think when people first meet me, I seem really professional and cold. I know. Fuck, it's really. Yeah. It's not me. I called my brother the other day. I was like, dude, when. He was like, I'm busy. Can we talk later? I'm like, I just have a quick question. When did I become a robot? He was like, I think like 4 years ago, you just started being a little more serious and like weird. And like, if.
Why?
I don't know.
Did you get like your heart broken, or did you just like discover comedy and want to be the best? Like, what made you a robot? I don't think you're a robot. But if you think you're a robot, I'll run with it.
I don't think I'm a robot. I do a pun website. I make Pokemon sculptures.
Like, wait, okay. I feel like we're going somewhere, but I do want to just, let's screech the brakes, whatever you want to say. Okay. I'm really good at saying things. You told me that you have a thing called Monday Punday.
MondayPunday.com. Yes.
I mean, just looking at you, you look like, again, in your joke.
I went to business school, yeah.
Yeah, but you really did go What's to business that? School.
No,
You don't just look like you did.
No, I went to Rice and I majored in math, and then I ended up getting a job in finance.
Okay, so you basically went to business school.
No, it's not at all. I took class with like a bunch of nerds. It's so opposite. Math is applied math.
Is business not classes full of nerds?
No, business school is classes full of like the kids who were like okay students in high school and did drugs and partied, and then got to college and started working really hard. And this is just like...
Yeah, you're right.
They're not.
You got me.
I was one of the kids who worked hard in high school, and like I was a nerd in high school, and I wrote answer keys for homework.
Classic
to everyone else.
Attractive person in their mid-20s. I was a nerd in high school. You're really just, you're like a Maxim Hot 100 chick right now.
Yeah, but that.
No response.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and there's nothing I resent more than seeing those attractive girls on those lists being like, ugh, I'm such a nerd. So I know how repulsive it sounds for me to be. I think I try to not say I'm a nerd, because that's bragging. I think calling yourself a nerd is bragging.
Yeah.
I think if someone else wants to call me that, great. That's very flattering. I take it as a huge compliment, but I'm not going to tell you I'm one.
I kind of like that you have this, like, I like competitions. I'm competitive. I will do, like, are you going to, like, if I think Last Comic Standing is coming back, like, are you game for that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're game for that.
And you're like, because, like, I feel like
I don't know if I'm experienced enough yet. I don't know if I have enough experience.
Right. Like, I feel like I don't know if I would do it. If I did, I'm the kind of person I'm like, I would like, I'll do it. Get as far as I can. Definitely don't want to win. Definitely don't want to get in those top like five or three or whatever. But I feel like you're like, I'm winning. You're like, I start to win.
I wouldn't mind winning, but like I lost. I did horribly in the San Francisco competition, and I walked away just like, you know.
Did you really do horribly?
Okay, no, I did very well. I did very well. I got first place in prelims and then second place coming out of semis. But then the last night when it was top five, I got last place in that, because it was just basically, the last night was decided one night, winner take all, at a casino 2.5 hours outside of San Francisco, where like it was a huge capacity room with about a fourth of the room full of Filipino people who were tired of playing slot machines, so they just wanted to come see a show. So my stuff didn't hit there, and part of me was just like, okay, you know what, like this is the era of the niche comic. Like, look at the people who get on Conan right now. Look at the people who are blowing up. They're not every room comics, and I'm kind of glad that there's rooms I can't do, you know?
Do you see yourself as a niche comic?
A bit, yeah. I like colleges. I like smart crowds. I like, yeah, very much. I like my demographic. I like yuppie 20, 30-year-olds,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I could say that I like that, but I do know that when that's where I'm at, mm-hmm. that's like the best shows I'm going to get.
Yeah. And of course, as a comic, you go up in front of any crowd, you want to make them laugh. It doesn't matter how different from you they are. You want to make them laugh. But
what the fuck is Monday Punday?
Monday Punday? I mean, I have the pictures here.
Well, we can't see those on a podcast. You got to tell us what this
okay. is. Okay. MondayPunday.com is my proudest creation, hands down. It's the thing in this world. I hope the URL is on my tombstone. So I draw a picture every Monday on my website, MondayPunday.com.
You hand draw this and scan it?
Yeah, that's right. It'll be an image. It's a play on words, basically, and you're supposed to figure it out. So it'll be like, the classic example is like a guy with a beard and a lot of chest hair sculpting a vase, and that's the picture. And the answer would be Harry Potter. I'm trying to think of other good examples. A box, a little, like a high C box, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
With a picture of John, George, Ringo, and the fourth one.
John, George, Ringo.
And Paul.
Paul,
yeah, right? And the answer would be Beetlejuice.
So yeah,
it's
okay.
Puns like that. So I do this every week.
Why do you do this?
I started in 2010. Before I started doing comedy, I was just bored at work. And I would draw these. There was a teacher in high school who would do something similar. So I started drawing these for friends at work. And I put them on Facebook whenever I finished them. And I started doing it on Mondays. And I think like a year in, my friends on Facebook were excited every Monday for them. So I decided to transfer it over to a website.
And do you, can people comment what they think it is? Or how do they?
You can type in your answer and it validates it. It'll tell you you're correct or incorrect.
Oh, did you code and build this website yourself?
I did, actually.
I learned
the minimal amount of HTML to program the website.
Where did you learn this? Not at Rice University.
Actually, some of the stuff I learned with applied math helped a lot. Just the logic, because we did a lot of programming in my major. But, I mean, you just go on Reddit and ask questions, and you go on websites and you can teach yourself.
Part of me, just sitting here, just wants to, physically attack you, and I'm
just
like,
stab me.
Not stab. I wouldn't want you to bleed, but I want to grab your shoulders and shake you without you trying to fight back.
Why?
I would lose. I don't know. It's weird.
It's the 80s villain thing.
I don't think it's that. I just feel like I want to shake you and be like, let's not be so much better than me.
Oh, okay. No, I'm insecure and I'm always proving myself.
I think you might be the perfect human being.
Oh no.
You have a website that you coded yourself. You just learned it because you wanted
I learned
to.
What I needed to.
And
do
you
edit
used
it.
Applied math? What does that even mean? I'm sorry.
You're making me hate myself.
No.
Oh, this guy's a piece of shit. Yeah, no.
No, I do want to shake you because I think it'd be fun, but not because I hate you. I actually like you. I think you're awesome because you're something very specific, and that's interesting.
Yeah, I think I doing comedy kind of makes you, there's that annoying thing you do in your first, 5 years of comedy where you find a character to be, and then you find what makes you different, and you play that character on stage, and then your real life, you'll try to be more like that, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah. My peers always would say that I found my voice way before I found my material.
Mm.
Whatever. That's stupid. Who cares? But
no, I want to hear that.
No. I started comedy, and then I'm very distinct with who
yeah,
I am, but I
voice.
Didn't have material yet.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that kind of annoyed them.
That's, yeah, the voice is the hard part. That's
yeah.
The,
who are you?
You're
a Winklevoss
twin.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah, I think you nailed it.
Do you feel
right
like
now.
You're, because you're Matt, aka Matthew, is a handsome man. Are you, do you think you're stunted because you're so good looking at all?
No. I think, not to sound egotistical, but I found a way to twist it to my favor. You know what I mean? Like, it's really easy. It'd be like, I have had people like, oh, it's kind of hard because it's like, no, I could easily dress down on stage. I don't have to comb my hair in the morning.
Oh, I guess this is the look you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, the look and the character. But it's just like, not many other people are doing that. I mean, you could say, you know, it's just, it's distinctive. And that's what matters the most in comedy.
I feel like you're like Anthony Justin. Do people compare you to Anthony Justin?
Yeah.
I feel like you're like Anthony Jeselnik, yeah. But like nice.
Oh, thank you.
You're like really nice. Not that he's mean, but I mean, he did deny me once at a bar. Bobby Lee told him I thought he was hot, and he just invited me to come to his show at UCB, like as a fan, and that hurt. But that's okay. Wait, Josh who?
I said Tosh.
Tosh. Oh yeah, totally.
I get
yeah.
that a lot. He's just wonderful, but he is a dick.
He's a dick.
I
yeah.
hear in his character, and I hear he is. I mean, I hear he's a sweet guy, but he also, I mean, he enjoys. Picking on people, like clearly that's his act. So
right, are those people that like you started comedy and you're like, I like those guys, I want to be like them?
I mean, I get a lot of I didn't know who Jeselnik was till like after I started doing comedy, maybe like.
And to be clear, like I don't think your comedy is anything like those people. I think you just like have that vibe.
Oh yeah, Tosh, I just loved. I think when I was a sophomore in high school, I found him. And it's just like the first comedian I just fell in love with. I just went to listen to the whole album. I showed it to all my friends. He's just so funny to me. For someone to play such an unlikable character, such a winner, you know, and brat, like, and it just comedy is so full of self-deprecation. It was so fresh to me to hear someone doing the opposite. So I always love that.
I guess that's kind of how Jeselnik is. He's full of
himself. Jeselnik's a more extreme version of that. Yeah. Jeselnik's better looking and more hateable. Like, I think, and then I think it's a spectrum. I think it started with Dane Cook, who's a good looking guy. And then doesn't do too much self-deprecation. Then you see Tosh boomed right after him, who's a better looking guy and is even meaner. And then you see Jeselnik, who's even better looking and does even meaner stuff. And then you see, to me, the furthest iteration of that is Colin Kane.
I don't know him, but I know who he is.
He's model good looking. He's very handsome and just filthy, nasty, mean. And it's just, to me, that seemed like a progression.
Is he not a joke anymore? I feel like he was like a joke that everyone made fun of, and now he's like not.
He headlines. I don't know. I've never seen him live.
Me on Twitter. So
oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, I just, it was really hard for me to not troll him because
I have no reason to shit on. I'm not going to talk shit on him.
That's okay. I respect that. But he did. He just.
But
many,
I wish he didn't do such dirty stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
he's clearly a good joke writer and he's clearly a good presence. I wish he could do something different.
Too many like mean things about fat girls, and I'm like, bro, I gotta troll you on Twitter. But it didn't last long because he blocks people. He clearly gets a lot of people after him because anyone who blocks you that fast, they're like experienced at having
it still
haters.
Hurts his feelings.
I feel like if you're blocking people, it kind of does hurt your feelings.
Do you get hate mail?
I used to, when I first started doing podcasts, I like got a lot of hate, and then it just like everyone just kind of was like, I think they hated on me and they're like, okay, we got our message through, we're good. Like, and now it's like, I feel.
Did it hurt?
No, I think we're just, it's sometimes. Yeah. But it's like, you're just used to, right? I don't know. Do you,
I don't get it. I was on TV for the first time. I was high, and I think a couple days after the, what's it called? The Adam Devine show.
Yeah.
That premiered. I got a tweet that was from some like comedy nerd kid. I said, at Monday Punday, you stole Dan Soder's joke, you douche nozzle. I was like, oh God. I was high, so it was way worse. I was like, did I steal a joke? Did I accidentally?
I hate that. Oh,
and then it was like, well, he says he looks like a evil ski instructor. It's like, oh yeah, that's not.
Nothing
I don't
frustrates me more than people on the internet, on Twitter, that think that you stole, like, that.
That's the worst.
It's
ooh,
like,
that hurts.
People just sometimes will think similarly or have a similar premise or even like similar words. It's just like, dude, fuck off. I can't.
It's these extreme, and I messaged Dan Soder about it on Facebook. I was like, hey man, I don't know what joke he's talking about. And Soder messaged back. He's like, oh yeah, I do something about like an evil ski instructor. That's like a classic trope. Soder didn't seem upset about it. It didn't even sound like a similar joke. And he was just like, yeah, it's just some like super comedy fan. just trying to start shit.
Accusing people of stealing makes you look so psycho. It's not, it's just, oh, just it's chill. Such a scary thing, it's like, though. Focus on, keep your eyes on your own paper and yeah. you'll be fine. But yeah, I remember when I, like, the first year I started in comedy, there was a season of Last Comic On and a comic did a joke, like, basically the exact joke that I have, like, about don't wear a red shirt to Target if you don't want me to, like, ask you where the DVDs are. Like, something to that effect. And he, like, had a similar joke, and I was, like, I was really upset. I was, like, and again, like, it's a bad joke anyway because it was my first year. But at the time...
It's low-hanging fruit. Yeah, a lot of people could have written that joke. Yeah,
but at the time, I'm, like, that's a great joke I have. And I was, like, really bummed about it. And then it's, like, you just realize, like... That guy obviously didn't steal my bit, but your instinct is to be like, he stole my bit. But that's like me being that's a psycho. Funny. It's like, it's not the case. It's just people think similarly. Sometimes you just got to move on and keep being you.
That's funny. My instinct when I hear someone has a similar joke is I instantly get mad at myself for like, oh, you clearly just weren't that original in your writing.
Yeah, well, that's the right way to think about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the more developed comedian.
But like with the set I did for House Party, there were just like, there were some lines and I was like, that's a good joke. And like some of those were jokes I wrote my first year of comedy, which you never know about those. Like that first year of comedy, you're just, everything you've heard in your whole life comes out and it may be original. It may not. It's a scary thing. So I was like, could I have? And like, luckily, I guess no is the answer, but.
Yeah, no, it's
a scary thing. And I hear so much comedy. I'm so afraid I'm going to take something. I need to quit listening to so much comedy.
Yeah, but it's like, are you really just going to live in fear and like not that's absorb true. The art form that you love? Like, you just kind of got to go. I mean, you know you're not being Carlos Mencia 10 years ago or whatever. Like, yeah. You're not
doing it intentionally for certain, yeah.
Like, I think that there's a difference, a specific difference to be drawn between like, accidentally absorbing something and using a similar thing, that's different from like stealing. That's when you steal, it's like an active act of like, I heard that,
I can't understand the psychology that
would
lead to
that. It's obviously just it's the same as like someone who would steal like money from work or, you know, any kind of theft. It's like, it's very wrong, but
it's gross. Yeah,
but whatever. You have old parents like
that's
me,
right?
You fucking stole it from me. We were talking about this recently. Like, you like having been raised by old people.
Oh, so much. Yeah, so much. It's so much better.
And what's the age gap there?
Parents were when I was born, my dad was 47, my mom was 41.
And why do you like that?
They gave me a lot of time, and they knew what they were doing. A lot of time for me. They just had so much time for me, which is like you said, which is why we're both so needy.
Yeah.
Just a huge emphasis on education for me, and they were able to just drop everything for me. Like, it was great. Just they'd saved up a lot of money by the time they had me, so they were able to put me in like a private high school. I got to go to a good college, you know, that was really important. So
I feel like our experiences were a little different just because my parents had no emphasis on education, but well, they did. I shouldn't say that. But like, I don't think my parents were like, I think I always say like I wasn't raised. I was just like lightly watched. Like they weren't like,
oh, that's funny.
They weren't like set out to be parents. They just like had me because my mom wanted a kid.
Supervisors.
And, yeah. Yeah. But like, I do like that my dad was so much older because I feel like you don't want to be raised by like some dude in his 30s who doesn't know what he's doing. Who's like still wants to like go fuck hot chicks or something.
Someone our age. Can you imagine? My friends, we're both 25. Our friends are having kids. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's gross.
And they're children. They're still children. Yeah, they still care about like, if you said, hey, you want to go get like drunk at a club tonight, they'd be like, yeah, kind of like, good, then you shouldn't have kids yet. You should be go getting drunk at clubs,
right? I want to have a baby, but then I'm like, I couldn't take care of a dog, so that's not a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good test. That's what I've always said, that like, if you want to have a kid, you should apply. And you should have to like keep a dog for 5 years, and then when the dog, you come back and the dog isn't like a piece of shit, you're like, oh, you get to have a kid now. You know, they have this technology. I don't know if there's like angles you like to go on the show or not, but like,
let's hear
this. Fascinates me. In India, they have this technology and I haven't read on this, like, I could be wrong, but this is what I read, that they have this, like, gel that they can insert into your, they can inject into your vas deferens. It basically blocks off sperm from being transmitted. And it stays there for 10 years until it kind of fades away. Or you can get it removed at any time. It's male birth control for 10 years at a time.
Oh, my God.
And it, they do it in India or something like that, but they don't want to do it here for whatever reasons because the medical system is so screwed. But can you imagine if just like at 15, you could just, every guy could go in and just get like 10 years sterilized? Can you imagine if they gave us that option?
Well, there's almost...
Wouldn't the world be a better place? Am I Hitler? Is that what I'm, is that what's going on?
There's almost no way that that won't be the way it is, like in at least 100 years
I would
something.
Do that right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's got... Once that's available to people, they will do that. That makes sense.
It's just... Here's the problem, is that the people... there is a, you know, a, they're sticking a needle in your balls, and like with any medical procedure, it could go wrong.
Yeah.
There's probably a very slim chance. The people who would be afraid of it and choose to not do it are the people who are going to go knock someone up. That's the problem. So it would just be like people like us who are not going to have kids anyway who would opt for stuff like this. So you keep stupid people would keep breeding.
I wonder though, like if that is a good thing because you're then it's like, okay, you're definitely not going to, as a dude, as a horny dude, you're definitely then not going to use condoms.
Oh, I'd have herpes for sure.
Yeah, like everyone's going to have herpes.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to have AIDS. Like it's going to be bad. Maybe
they
can
just cure those things.
Yeah, they
apparently,
could.
Like, apparently one in four people has herpes and most of them don't know it.
Oh God, that's terrifying.
It's a more asymptomatic disease than it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no! Do
HPV
I have
apparently like even more like one in two? If you've ever had unprotected sex, you have HPV or something. But
I know.
This, again, you never show symptoms of it.
I know HPV stresses me out because my dad was like, "Go get the vaccine."
You
and
should.
I didn't. Well, now I think I'm okay now. The person I'm sleeping with is.
He's a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
He's a sweetheart.
I hope hopefully he didn't give me HPV. Hopefully, but someone else could have. Maybe like one of the gay guys I let go down on me or something. I don't know. I'm sorry.
Gay guys do that?
No.
Gay guys hate that. That's a. I had a gay boss, and
they
he was
focus
like,
on
fuck a chick, but
no, they focus on like a different area. It was a whole thing. Yeah. It's a story for like 2010. What's your deal? Do you like bang hot girls all the time?
Because
you look like you do, but you act like you don't.
I don't. I don't. I have like zero game.
Okay.
I don't drink. Or I don't go out drinking. I enjoy beer and I'll get drunk with friends at like a house party or something like that. But I don't go
at
out
Adam
drinking.
At Adam Devine's house party? You fucking advertiser. Strapping it.
Yeah, right. My emphasis. It was so funny, by the way, that like my friends were treating me like, dude, did you get laid that night? I bet you so got laid that night. And I was like, no, there was no alcohol allowed on set. They bust in the people. And the second we were done with stand up, they bust them all out. They didn't even get to meet us.
Yeah, I know. It wasn't a real party.
It was not. Is that bad? Are we allowed to say that?
I don't know.
Well, we edited out for both of us. If
no,
we say
no.
That, yeah.
People have to know that that's a TV show.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
My friends were just like, they assumed it was like a cool little party as well. They assumed the stand-up portion was a party, but
yeah, I guess my mom thought that too, but she's, you know, she like saw the clips of Adam like in a bandage and was like, did he really get hurt? Is he okay?
The funniest was that when they, after the show was over, they're like, I watched what they did. Like the people who brought him in were like, okay guys, everyone, we're going to have you stand up. We're going to have you line over here. We're going to head to the party. And they just loaded him straight onto the bus. Like they lied to him.
What?
Yeah. Did you not see that?
No.
Yeah. They were like, okay guys, for the next part, we're going to go here. And they would just march him straight onto the bus.
No way, dude. Yeah. That's like worse than the Holocaust. That's so rude.
What's funny is that the fact that they had to lie to him means that if they'd been like, sorry guys, it's over. You got to leave now. They would have been like, no. And they would have like ran inside and partied in this super nice mansion that we rented that we weren't out even allowed to use like the sinks inside of.
Yeah. We had to use porta potties.
Exactly.
It's very barbaric.
I washed my hair in the sink.
You did?
Yeah. They did my hair up with like soot and stuff and I got to
I went to In-N-Out the night after my taping, and there was like a bunch of people there. They're like, "Oh, the great!" And I felt really. It was like after my dance recital.
Oh, that's
people
so awesome.
Were like, "Oh, we saw you. You were great."
Oh, that's so cool. You got to run into those people?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were like nice Mexican teenagers.
Mm. Really yeah, they were a very ethnic crowd. It was
yeah,
a mixed
which
crowd.
Is great. Makes I for a it. Good shot.
And not just mixed, but like the people within the crowd looked like, because I remember I went out and introduced myself to people. I met like a black guy with blue eyes. I think I even wrote a joke about that, but yeah.
Oh, those guys are, oh.
That's
they
only
run
in California, by the way. Like, and like you see so much of that in California, especially out in the valley. You see more mixed people, and like that's only in California where people are more
open,
well bred.
Yeah, when I see a black guy with blue eyes, or a black girl with blue eyes, I'm like, it's unfair that I'm this. That's not okay.
That's how I feel about Asian girls with green eyes. Asian girls who are like half Asian and have green eyes, like the Olivia Munn type. That's just like not fair.
That's crazy. Wait, I forgot. Aren't you a mix?
I'm Jewish on my mom's side, and I'm Cajun on my dad's side.
What is Cajun? Isn't that just a spice?
Cajuns are, it's great food. By the way, I feel Jews have the worst cuisine on the planet.
What?
Yeah. Compared to Italian or Mexican food. No one's been like, let's go get Jewish food, bro. Yeah.
Are you kidding? People are always like, let's go to Cantor's and get a pastrami.
That's
and
not Jewish food.
Plate.
That's deli. We don't really have
that's Jew,
food.
Though. Come on. Were you... like brought
yeah,
up
that's
as
a Jewish is like I don't know what to compare it to.
Do you see yourself as being Jewish?
Yeah, I had a bar mitzvah. Yeah, I consider myself, I went to Jewish summer camp. I did Birthright. I consider myself
oh,
very Jewish.
Oh wow.
Which
I
is
mean,
funny because they did that one joke on TV and then I called the finance Jew magic and then I never specified that I was Jewish and I look really not Jewish.
Yeah, so, you do look not Jewish. Yeah. Like I feel like we're all the Jewish girls in Hebrew school just like drooling on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I clean up on J-Date. I'll say that much.
Are you on J-Date?
I was for a while. I was in Houston.
No way.
Too few Jewish girls there.
So you wanted to date a Jewish girl?
I want to raise kids Jewish. Being Jewish was awesome.
It's pretty great.
Did you go to Jewish summer camp?
I didn't. I went to Jewish preschool. I didn't go to That's Jewish summer camp.
Are you a conservative, reform, orthodox?
I am nothing. Okay. Well, I'm not nothing. I didn't go to Hebrew school, though. Okay. I didn't have a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah. I'm a boy. No, my dad was like, yeah, he's like, I hated Hebrew school. It was the worst part of, like, I was miserable that my parents made me do it. He's like, I didn't want to put you through it. But they're like, again, like, he was very old by the time I was born. I don't think he, like, had an agenda with me. It was just like, whatever's easiest.
Oh, that's funny. My mom, I tweeted that the other day, by the way, that Judaism is less of a religion and more of an alumni association.
That's very brilliant.
Yeah, thank you. my mom just had this, like, hell-bent thing of just, like, yeah, we're raising the kids Jewish. We're raising them Jewish. That's
She's
what they're going to do. And she doesn't even believe in God either.
Like, really?
None of us believe in God. We're still Jewish. It's like, no, it's awesome. How can I not be?
Yeah, I mean, I identify as Jewish. I feel very Jewish. Yeah. Like, that's... it's weird. Like, people always talk about this, but it's like, it's ethnicity a little bit, but it's also, it's culture. It's like, there's a lot to it.
It's just, you feel connected. Whenever you meet another Jewish person, you just kind of feel connected to them already.
Yeah, it is an alumni association.
It is. Yeah, or a network. Yeah. Helped me get my job in finance. I was swimming at a JCC, and there was this guy who's like this, yeah, a Jewish swimmer, like 50.
I don't feel like it helps me, though, like out here being Jew. It's like, people,
it's not surprising here. It's like, oh, another Jew.
Yeah, like I feel like people would just rather have like a tall blonde goy than like a Jew for like a job. I don't know.
Oh, what kind of jobs?
Well, you're
at
a tall blonde.
I'm a WASP. Yeah.
Yeah, you are so WASPy. So you have it all.
Thank you. I just think it's funny that I look so WASPy that I look like that, but like both sides of my heritage are like.
What is
people
Cajun?
Who would have never fit. Oh, but yeah, sorry. Cajun is a group sometime a long time ago, hundreds of years ago, a group of French immigrated to Nova Scotia and, you know, became French Canadians, basically to get away from oppression and France religious freedom. And they were there for a while, and then the English took over Canada and kicked them all out, right? So they were there for a while, and they sailed down the Mississippi to southern Louisiana. Right? And it's this pocket of people in southern Louisiana. They still speak French. It's Cajun French, so it's very corrupted. And it's an interesting culture. It's great food. It's religious, very conservative, very the opposite of Jews. Also, mean to say, not the most educated bunch of people, not the most successful bunch of people. If you look at, like, there's a lot of Broussards in Louisiana. There's a lot of, you know, Boudreaux, Thibodeau, Quibodeau, like all those. And it's, you're only now starting to see those names get, like, CEO positions or things like that. It's
get outside of.
It's, yeah, it's... It's bilingual white trash, I would call it, which is really mean to say because it's my family. But
it's okay. My non-Jew side is not. Who's proud of their non-Jew side? I mean, come on.
That's fun. I'm very proud of my Jewish side. Yeah.
So are your dad just like had a Jew girl thing or what? What happened there?
My dad was a really poor farm boy in Louisiana. My mom was like an upper middle class Jew from Memphis. And my dad was just like super smart, like super duper smart for no reason. Like his parents were both like native French speakers, didn't like get through middle school or something like that. And they grew up on a farm. And he was just really, he read a lot of books. And then he ended up doing like randomly really well in his PSAT. Got like first person in our whole family to get through college. Graduated from LSU and then went to get a PhD in chemistry at UT. And my mom was a freshman undergrad at UT and needed a chemistry tutor. So she called a random number.
That's cute.
Isn't that adorable?
That's cute. That makes me want to do that.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
And my mom was just really attracted to how smart he was.
Right. Yeah. That works.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for a Jewish girl.
Yeah, that's all she wanted. And she... That's a good way of putting it. I didn't think about it that way. My mom saw it as like a good, like an underpriced stock of like, here's this poor kid who doesn't realize that he's going to be making a ton of money in like 10 years as, you know, a badass chemist. And he doesn't realize that like.
Right. She bought early.
Yeah. She bought in early.
That's good. You know, you got to. And she was like, we'll get some hybrid vigor, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I believe in mixed, even though I'm still straight white, I still think that, yeah, you mix it up. Because, you know, like, with Jews, man, there's so many, if you're a purebred Jew, there's so many, like,
health
digestional
problems.
Issues. Yeah,
yeah I don't fuck with that. Yeah, my mom is from Finland. I'm a hybrid myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Finnish.
Yeah, Finnish and Jewish.
Wow.
Which is also, like... Whenever I say that, people don't understand what I'm saying. They don't.
That's a weird one.
I feel pretty, you know, like people don't acknowledge Finland as a country. It's really been a tough road for me.
I know very little about it. I know where
me
it is
too.
On a map, but.
I know very
it's
little.
Big, too.
Finnish people tend to be very quiet and like they look like you. Like they're blonde.
Yeah, average height's like 6'1 in that country. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So I kind of got screwed. I really inherited those. Those Jew genes are very dominant, is really all I need to
you
say.
You got blue eyes.
No, they're like a greenish.
Oh, they're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Norway. I know a lot about Norway. Isn't Norway next to Finland? Norway, Sweden, Finland? Or
yeah.
All these, like, archipelago or whatever.
Yeah. It's similar, but different.
But different. So I picture it like, have you read or seen Girl with the Dragon Tattoo?
No, but I want to so bad.
Oh, man. It's. Do you happen to know, Dustin, if it's based in, if it's, it's Norway, right?
It's might be Sweden. I'm trying to
oh, it could be Sweden. That's right. Lars. Just everyone's into like heavy metal and rape there based on that book.
Is it good? I should read it, right?
Oh, it's great.
Read it or see the movie. Be real with me.
Movie is very good. If you're bored and you don't want to waste your time, see the movie. You're not going to miss a ton. It's a long book, so.
Yeah. What did I just start? Oh, I tried watching Hunger Games, but I haven't gotten through it yet.
I read the first two books. I really want to read the third one.
Have you seen the movie?
I saw the first movie. Yeah.
It's good?
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Jennifer Lawrence is just wonderful.
She is. You look like her.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God, you do look like her.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh my God, you're a Jennifer Lawrence lookalike.
What I get like doppelgangers sometimes. People just be like, "You look like generic handsome white guy," which is really nice. I really like. I get like Val Kilmer sometimes. I get the sensei from Karate Kid. I get some good ones. Every now and then, I get Will Ferrell, which is. I'd rather not hear it, but I see it, but I'd rather not hear it. Once I got Liam Hemsworth, and that made my day.
Oh, yeah.
Because
okay.
He's in that movie.
Yeah, he's a cutie.
He's a very, very handsome.
Is that
man.
The one that was engaged to Miley?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That okay. is, he's dreamy.
Yeah, no, I see man, you as more yeah. of a Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
J-Law.
More of a J-Law. Okay.
Man, I mean, can you give us like at least some kind of tease? Like, what's the next Monday Punday? Give us like a category, like what, or even just like a future one.
Oh, Mondays is really good.
So you
Mondays
already know, really, like, how far in advance do you know these things?
I'm through July, so if I died today, they'd keep posting until the end of June.
Whoa!
Because when I moved out of Houston, like I knew I wasn't gonna have a scanner for a while, so I just went crazy.
Why weren't when? Oh, because you'd be traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a scanner now, right?
No.
What are you going to do?
When I go home for the holidays, I'm going to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't a scanner at this point in the game of life like $100?
I'm unemployed, right? I lost my job.
What was your job?
This is a good story. I was a financial analyst in Houston.
Uh-huh.
I was doing that, and my boss was super duper cool. Boss was like the coolest guy in the world. Really small company. And he knew I was doing the comedy thing, and I got the Comedy Central thing, and I basically just came, addressed him finally in like June. I was like, I said, listen, I need to move to Los Angeles to pursue this more seriously. That's the next step for me. He said, okay, if you want to keep working remotely, we'd love to have you. I was like, oh my God, yes. It's just bring a computer with me and just, yeah, just, I was doing that in Austin. I was doing that in San Francisco, working remotely. Getting most of my shit done. Like, I was still a pretty decent employee. And then my car got broken into in San Francisco, and they stole my work computer. And it was a huge security breach because we do private wealth management stuff. So there was a lot of probably shouldn't be saying anything. But either way, no one got access to the computer, right? No one found the information. But because there was a chance they could have, we had to inform all of our clients. Right? Who, yeah. And or at least we had to inform the clients whose passwords were at stake. And yeah, it just looked, they had to let me go.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, this isn't fair. It's like, it's a 3-person company. And yeah, I screwed up big time.
Wow.
Yeah. So very unfortunate. That was like one of the worst things that's happened to me in a long time.
Oh no.
So luckily, so I was like, yeah, I was so excited to come out here with a day job and then just hit comedy hard at night, you know? But so now I'm doing nothing, which is really, really depressing.
It's hard, but you know what?
It's so depressing.
You have like the background that makes for a good comic who like doesn't just waste their life away because you actually had like a real job, so you know what it's like to put effort into things.
And it helps my material.
Yeah, I mean, so you were a financial analyst. Like, what's your financial? Do you have any overarching financial advice to give to our listeners?
First of all, understand your finances. Look at how much you spend every month and how much you take in.
Oh, hell no.
Oh, I'm so good. I'm so good at saving money. You would be upset with me if you know how much money I saved up before I got fired. I don't need to look for a job for a year.
That's great.
Yeah. So, and that was always the intention. Start investing young. Start a 401k through your job if you can, and just put in more money than you want to every month. Right?
Ugh.
You're going to be like, oh shit, why is it low? Oh,
I'm
because you've been
so
putting money in.
Sorry, I asked. I'm so sorry that I asked.
you see, most people know the answer. Most people are like, oh, can you help me with my finances? Like, no, don't spend money on stupid stuff.
It's like asking me, like, it's like asking someone, like, how do you lose weight? It's like, well, you don't eat those cookies.
Yeah, exactly. That's really,
yeah,
oh, that's so smart.
It's so basic.
That's a very smart way of putting
it. It's very a basic thing. Just don't spend money and don't
exercise,
eat.
Diet and exercise. Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, keep an eye on it. There are smart things. And then investing is really important, but I don't think I'm qualified to invest my own money. I'll buy some stocks, but just open a 401k and just pay some, you know, like you can, if you do it through work, people invest for you. You don't need to learn how to play the stock market. That's a stupid thing to try to do because
yeah.
there's other people who are out there profiting off of your stupidity. So,
although I do really want to buy a stock in Noodles and Company.
Then do it. There's always a fun one. I bought Nintendo. I bought $1,000 of a Nintendo that's now worth $500. I learned my lesson. It's like, oh, the Wii U, it's going to blow up.
It didn't?
I bought it at 30. It's been hovering around 15. So.
But you're going to hold out, right? Why not?
I might sell it for a loss just so I'm tax neutral for the year in terms of capital gains. But
I mean, is he a dream or what?
How can I ask you, how am I going to survive out here? Like, I just moved to LA. Are people just, is everyone going to hate me? Because that's what I've been preparing myself
Honestly,
for.
I feel like, yeah. No. I mean,
you're a attractive female comic. You face, it's a similar struggle.
It is. Well, thank you for saying I'm attractive. I will write that down in my journal later tonight, that you said it. But yes, there are people that hate me, but I'm just so over it. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, that's fine. And it's like I said, like, eyes on your own paper, tunnel vision. Like, Friday was upset by a booker who was not a booker, a guy who runs a show, was like, people were talking shit about you last night because I had to cancel the show. And he was like, just like, use it against me. And I was like, I got really upset for a moment. And then I was like, bitch, Zach Galifianakis told me I was funny at a party last night. Like, I got to just keep looking to the future. Like, you just get over, like, I'm glad you brought it up because
it's a thing.
People will hate you.
It's a real thing, yeah.
I'll understand why they hate you. So no offense. Thank you. No.
No, thank you. It's nice to have someone on my side. Yeah.
No, but it's like, yeah, that's...
You got to make sure what you do has integrity.
Yeah, if you're just being real and working hard and just trying to do what you do, people who hate you are crazy. Mm-hmm. It's not fair to be hated for that.
I dealt with that in Houston. I had a lot of success quickly.
What's crazy to me, though, like, I wanted to ask you is, so you... I just realized all of your developing has been done in Houston. Mm-hmm. That's so weird. Like, what's that like?
You started in LA. I listened to your Marin podcast. You started out here, right?
Yeah.
Houston was amazing. Your question was, what was it like developing in
Houston? Yeah, like, is there even a scene? Like, what is it?
There's one, like, since I left, there's a really good one. What it was there was a weekly open mic that I went to. I started at Sherlock's in 2011. And I would go up there and do like 3 minutes a week for like 2 or 3 months. And I started doing more open mics. So I was doing open mics like 4 or 5 nights a week. The thing is there's longer spots and there's rooms with non-comedians. This is only since I've been out here that I realized that y'all have rooms with non-comedians. If the room is just comedians in the crowd, we consider the night over and I'll usually scratch. Like, that was kind of my thing in Houston, typically. Or write it off and not try material. So I get to do better, like, more quality stage time in terms of open mics. And then there was, I think about 6 months in, there's a developmental room called the Comedy Showcase, which was like kind of a, I hate to say B room, it's disrespectful of the headliners there, but it was a lot of road comics were there. There was basically guest spots every week, 15 minute guest spots instead of a feature. So the owner liked me really quickly. And like within a month, he was giving me guest spots, and I was getting like 2 guest spots a month. So that'd be 30. That's an hour of stage time in front of a captive club crowd every month.
Yeah, that's valuable. It seems like that's nothing, but that's so something.
That really helped me develop an act.
So like when you
a lot of stage time in Austin and Dallas too.
How is that just like an hour drive or something?
Austin's an hour and a half, maybe 2.
So you were driving pretty frequently, like from to different places.
To Austin a lot, yeah. I just have a weekend where I could do some shows in Austin, or I get a feature weekend, or I get some guest spots in Austin, and I go there. I did my showcase for Comedy Central in Austin, so.
Oh, interesting. And how did that come about for you?
Oh, so cool. Bob Biggerstaff is a headlining comedian. He did Last Comic Standing. He's been alive at Gotham. He's living in Houston. Really funny, great guy. He was headlining at Cap City in like November of 2012. And I wasn't in with Cap City yet, and I really wanted to. That's the comedy club in Austin.
Yeah, I've been there.
The country. Oh, yeah, with Joe?
With Joe, yeah.
Bob Biggers, I saw Bob Biggerstaff was on the calendar, and I said, hey, Bob, can I come into town during, like, it was Thanksgiving weekend. I was like, can I come and do a guest spot on your show? And he was like, yeah, for sure.
That's so nice.
Here's what was really funny. It was that someone else the same weekend was just like, hey, that weekend, you want to come and feature for me in San Angelo, Texas? It'll pay money. And in my heart, I was like, I should take the money, or I could lose money and go do a 7-minute guest spot. And I took the guest spot, and I got in with the club really quickly, and they invited me to the showcase. So
that's awesome. Yeah. So the club is who invited you?
Yes.
That's interesting.
And it was a freak thing that I got on the show. Because all they saw was I'm not like a bragging way. It's just like a weird, just wonderful coincidence that.
Just to top you, I didn't even go to my showcase, and I still somehow ended up on it. So I'm a freak too.
Yeah,
in a bragging way.
That's LA living. Yeah.
What happened?
I did the showcase was just they filmed it and sent it to Comedy Central, and they saw my 7-minute video and they called me and you know whatever 6 weeks later they called me and said we'd love to have you on the show.
That's so awesome.
I had never performed in the state of California. I had never really performed outside of Texas, and there was no one anywhere near Comedy Central who could have vouched for me. So they really did just do it off this 7-minute video.
Wow.
Which was like I was actually really stiff. I watched the tape again. I was like, oh, that intro was terrible. Like.
Adam must have liked you then.
I guess so. Or I have other thoughts about it, but because I have that negative voice in my head.
Yeah, no, that was a good experience. I feel like there's something else I wanted to ask you about that, but it's nice that guy didn't have to say yes to letting you guest on a show, and he did. Like, some people you.
He's the best.
People don't just think you're a villain all the time.
No, I mean, yeah, I have my friends. I certainly have a lot of friends in comedy. So
we have to wrap it up, but I'm so glad that you came by.
This is so fun. This is like my first real like podcast thing. I feel so cool.
Where can people find you and get more of you?
MondayPunday.com. Please check out the website, and then I'm on Twitter at MondayPunday.
So that's the thing. Go on as well. Can we like see old Monday Pundays?
Oh, you can look through all of them. Yeah.
Oh, that's They're I'm gonna do have fun with that tonight. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Esther. Such a pleasure.
Yay.
Want to tell you guys about a really cool thing that Randy and I have been working on, and Dan's been involved in this as well.
Yes, we're building a fort.
We are building a fort.
In some ways, we kind of are.
A comedy fort of sorts.
One of my favorite things that I see on social media is when someone posts a text chain between them and their mom, or mm-hmm. them and a funny friend.
Or two comedians.
Two comedians, and you get to see the interaction back and forth, which is so fun. At times, there are text chains that we are on, the three of us, that are the funniest things ever that only the three of us get to see. So we had the idea, along with a couple other people, wouldn't it be great to allow people to be a fly on the wall of these conversations that happen between funny friends of ours and funny people just back and forth? To us, it would be really fun. And so that is sort of the germ of the idea of a special app called Banter. And we want you guys to try it and check it out. All you got to do is sign up for it. It's free. Find it in the App Store. It's called Banter, B-A-N-T-E-R. Get the app. It's free. And we want you guys to check it out and just pick conversations that are between two people. And the conversations play out in real time. And you get to hear it. It's curated, so nobody's going to be embarrassed.
Right.
It's the best stuff. But again, if you have a couple of minutes, you're sitting on the toilet, you're waiting for a train, you're hanging out. So when you want something, because so many times this happens to me where I want
just a quick blast of something
funny.
Something
and Twitter doesn't give it to me. I want to see this conversation happening between two really funny people and just get a laugh. We all need that in our day. So in order to do that, check out Banter and just download the app and let us know what you think about it.